Today's message is entitled Need for Wisdom. So if you could please stand for the reading of God's Word. Now we're studying several verses through the book of Proverbs, but I'm going to open up with a backdrop scripture that helps us get started in that. We're going to read from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 8 through 10. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I. Send me." And he said, "Go and tell these people. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their eyes heavy, and shut their eyes, their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed." Heavenly Father, we just ask now for your Spirit to speak through this vessel, to open our ears and our hearts to receive what you have for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Last week in the book of Proverbs, we spoke on wisdom and knowledge. And just as a quick review, knowledge in and of itself is information. Every one of you could pull out your phone and glean the information and ask Siri or whatever her name is to give you an answer to a question. You can get a statistic, you can get somebody's earnings and wages if they're famous, and you get bits of knowledge. That in and of itself, to me, is really no big deal. And I don't believe it's the kind of knowledge you're speaking about in the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs, when they talk about knowledge, they're talking about the knowing of God. To know Him. Not just here, but to know Him here. And we said that when we know Him here, to the full extent of who He is, which we can hardly do because we're finite, when we know Him here, we fear Him because we also see who we are. Amen? And when I see who I truly am, something inside of me causes me to bow before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, because of who He is. What a beautiful thing. Wisdom is the revelation of that kind of knowledge to us. That's what wisdom is. It's God revealing knowledge to you and me about who He is, and consequently us knowing who we are. Once we know who we are, we know our need. We know our need, and our need is Him, who we fear. And the fear, remember, is out of our awe and respect for God, for He is so great. Amen? All right. That was last week. We had all kinds of fun last week.
Amen. Are we dismissed?
Give me just a little bit.
Okay.
Just give me a little bit.
I'll never get back to the music. So.
I'll tell you what, you're not dismissed. How's that sound?
Fair enough.
Okay. We're going to talk about four different people types. And I think we fall into one of those categories or another or all. And now I did a self-assessment. And I fell into every category. But I want you to think for yourself when you fall. But Proverbs 8:5 says, "O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart." Simple ones. What's a simple one? Who's a simple one? Don't raise your hands. Who's the simple? The simple are those who just don't understand the truth of the matter concerning God. They just don't know. For all kinds of reasons. Maybe they don't have the capability to know on any deep level, but they don't even know on the simplest of levels, like it speaks in Romans chapter 1. It says, by the very creation of all that's here, by the very existence of what God has made, we are without excuse. And that we know that there is a God. But the simple ones just don't know. But maybe they have a good heart to learn. Maybe they have the heart, but if they could, they would glean And just maybe their ears are open to receive, because God wants to reach the simple ones who maybe right now don't know God. I'm going to take a look at my life real quick, and I was a simple one. So simple. I walked out of naivety and ignorance for a lot of years of my life. I knew a little bit, but I didn't know. I didn't know, like, the kind of knowing we talked about last week, who God was. And consequently, I didn't truly know who I was. I was simple. I didn't even know me. I thought I was something, but I was nothing. I thought I was a good guy, but my righteousness is rags in God's eyes. I was simple, but I didn't know me, and I didn't know God. But my heart was kind of decent. I'm going to say kind of, because that makes it a relative term. So, I was simple, but that knucklehead, he was stupid. You know, so, are my grandkids in here? I get yelled at when I say that. And when I say I was okay, at least compared to that person, that means I'm really simple, and I really know nothing, because I didn't know me. So in this proverb, God is dealing with the simple. The problem with being simple is I'm easily swayed. When I'm simple, different things can move me to places maybe I shouldn't go. Different thinkings come across my path and take me in directions that aren't good. Well, how does that happen? Because I'm vulnerable when I'm simple. I believe things that I shouldn't believe. I see things in a way that are not godly, but what's been presented to me that are not of God. But I got a decent heart. It's not enough. Genesis 3:6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband with her, and he ate. She was deceived. And even having a head knowledge, a knowing, she was simple, because she allowed herself to be deceived. Don't be simple. Don't be deceived. We wage war with an enemy whose business is to deceive. In fact, his name means the deceiver. He's also named the accuser. So once you've been deceived and you fall into sin, he accuses you night and day before the Father, saying, look what that, you know, simpleton did. In Jesus' name, let it not be so for us. Second person is the foolish person. Proverbs 2:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. The foolish person may be quite intelligent, but thinks they know everything and feels like they need no help. Ooh, that's another degree, isn't it? That's taking a step further away from God, in my opinion. Don't tell me. This is the way I'm going to do it. I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to hear from you. I'll do this. I can make this happen. The Bible says I'm a fool. I don't need any of what you have. Stop peddling your book to me. Don't you know I make 6 figures? 3 cars. I have 4 cars. 3 garages. We eat well every night. We go out and we're entertained. I have my 401ks. I have my money market accounts. I have stocks and bonds. I have my investments. I am set. My retirement is going to be amazing. I don't need y'all. The Bible says I'm a fool. That's an example. A fool. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. You all know the story. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. How many people have experienced the winds, the rains, the storm in your life? You've experienced it. Yet here you are today, fighting through it. Some of you have scars and wounds and hurts and pains, yet you are here because it didn't wash you away. That person's wise. But it's going to talk about the fool in the next part of it. And you know the story. The rains came, the wind blew, the storms approached. And the building did not stand. It fell because it was not built upon the rock, but it was built on sand. And all our wisdom, in all our wisdom, we still can't get it right. And it's washed away. He is a fool who does not build his house on the rock. He is a fool who does not build his theology on the rock. So consequently, we need to build our house on the rock. We need to lose the pride that entangles us and ensnares us, that says, I don't need. We have to come to a place of humility that says, I am in desperation and in total need. And build your foundation. Let that foundation be Him. There's the simple and there's the fool. My Savior's in control. Fully convinced my Savior's in control. Even if I fall,
even if I fall,
He never lets go.
He never lets go.
There's a second kind of fool. And this fool, we get from Luke 24:13. I'm not going to read the story, but it's the two men on the road to Emmaus. Jesus had died. He was put on the cross. He went into the tomb. And 3 days later, these two men are walking down the road to Emmaus. And they're talking. And they're asking questions. Like, we thought He was the one. We thought He was the deliverer. He was going to be the one. He was... And suddenly a voice comes upon them, a man comes upon them, and asks what they're talking about. And they said, oh, didn't you hear? Where have you been? This is Jesus. Don't you remember all the things He did, the miracles He did? We thought He was going to save us, like from Rome and from the religious order of the day. He was going to deliver them. And Jesus speaks up. He says to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded to them in all the scriptures these things concerning Himself. You see, these are decent men who so desperately wanted the Savior, but they didn't hear. They didn't hear what the prophets were saying about who this Savior would be and how He would come, how He would suffer. They were foolish because they didn't listen to the Scriptures and they didn't let themselves know those Scriptures and they didn't. They were foolish because their hearts weren't right. He says, oh, you were foolish hearts. Think about yourself. Are you in that place? Have you let your heart grow hard and cold and callous? I have to ask that to myself, especially after I do something not so bright. And I get angry at somebody and I respond poorly. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a church member. Maybe it's somebody out in the world. And I have to take a look. Is my heart hard? Or I have to say, why is my heart so hard? Why is my heart wicked? When I come to that place, I'm actually in a good place. Because then what comes next is I humble myself. Oh, I am a wicked wretch. I am a sinner. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. I come to you, I repent. That's what he's looking for. So are you the simple? Or are you the foolish person? Take counsel from the wise, those with wisdom, those with years of experience, or you blow them off. You see, that's foolish. I look at today in society and I watch people dismiss the elderly. The only people that's really going after the elderly seems to be the ARP organization. They're coming after me before I was elderly. Elderly are everything. That's where the wisdom lies. And jars of blue-haired clay. We need to hear from the wisdom of the elderly. I have lots of people I hear from. I have young people that tell me everything I should know. Then I have people my age who are going through the same exact things I am. Really? You're going to tell me something we haven't all been through together? What are you going to give me right now? And by the way, there's some wisdom there. But then I have those elderly, those that are older and more experienced than me. Do I listen to them? Or am I foolish because I go back to that other kind of fool? How about you? Do you listen to those with years of experience? On a real simple level, they have a lot of things. They've been through a lot of things you're going through. If they're in the Word of God, you want to hear what they have to say. They've seen the Word of God come alive. They've seen people walk away from the Word of God and watch destruction come. They've been around long enough to see it all unfold. Do you listen to those older than you? They're not always right and perfect, but they're a lot further ahead than we are. I talk to Jerry 3 times a week because he's old. I talk to Donnie every week because he's old. I didn't say it, Donnie. I did, but they said it first. I don't know if Paul is in here, but I like talking to Paul because he's old. Not only is he old, he's got a little edge. I love him. Listen to those who have gone before you. It's the type of wisdom. To dismiss them is foolish. Third person is the evil person. Proverbs 29:16 says, when the wicked are multiplied, transgression increases, but the righteous will see their fall. The wicked do not want the truth, even more than the one that's questioning. They desperately do not want the truth, and sometimes will actively come against those who speak the truth. Now, just by a show of hands, has anybody experienced that? Where you felt people come against you because you've shared good things with them? All right, this is just because I love you. We should be feeling that on a regular basis. I remember in youth group, we talked to the kids, and one of the things we would celebrate are those who got rejected by sharing the gospel or inviting somebody to youth group. We would celebrate that. And then the kid that brought a kid, they're like, well, what about me? Get to the back of the line. Look at this guy. He took a hit for the kingdom of God. Yeah, we should all face that. Because outside of the world, there are some wicked, evil people. And we're called to love them, we're called to pray for them, we're called to reach out to them because God loves them. What they do with what we do is God's business. But if you've taken a hit for the kingdom of God, I think that's part of us sharing in the suffering with Christ. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Romans 1:20 says, "For since," and I gave you the scripture before, "but for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify God or glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts and foolish in their hearts, and their hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and fowl, four-footed animals and creeping things. Jesus, forgive us." They knew God, but not recognize him as God. And they were turned over. You see, it's God's business what happens to those who you share the gospel with, the love of God with, Jesus with. That's what we're called to do. It's his business of the outcome. And he goes right to the heart, which we can't do. He measures the heart, and he knows the condition of it. That's what Jesus does. That's what the Holy Spirit does. What I does is tell them that Jesus loves them. There's a way out of this. He loves you so much that he would pay for your crimes, your sins, your all that misdoings. That's what I'm supposed to do. The results are left to him, and it tells us here what he does. He turns them over. Romans 12:18 says, "If it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry," if this is too hard for you, just go like this for a second. "If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." That's what you and I are supposed to do. That's what we do. We love, 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 love. And God will love, 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 judge, love, love, judge, love, love. Do what we're supposed to do. Remove the judgment, leave that up to him. Because in due time you will see the wrath of God and the vengeance of him, like we read the first thing, be poured out. I don't know that that's something we should think about rejoicing at this time. Psalm 58:10 says, "The righteous shall rejoice when he sees the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked." I can't comprehend that right now. I just trust that then it'll be alright. Because God's doing it. So the men will say, "Surely there is a reward for the righteous. Surely he is God who judges in the earth." We should be saying, "Surely there is a God who judges. Surely there is a God who's doing all that he does in the earth." We should be saying that now. That's a faith statement. And the last person is the wise person. How many have a wise person? Three. One of them's a gray hair. All right. Three people. Wise person. I'm going to tell you right now, I am a wise person. Because instead of my foolishness, my simpleness, and my evil ways, which I was all of those, I made a decision. That makes me the smartest, wisest person in my family. Till they made their decision. Then I was back down on the scale and I fell right into my place. When you make a decision for Christ, you just cross over from foolishness into wisdom. And you're on a track to grow in that. And that's the challenge for all of us. Grow in that. But let's talk about that for a second. This is a person that the book of Proverbs truly wants to showcase is the wise. And there's so much contrasting. The fool does this, but the wise do this. Wisdom is this, but foolishness is that. Proverbs 3:21 says, "My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion." Discretion is like discernment or judgment. God's word? Do you know his precepts? Are you somebody who reads just the book of John? Which, by the way, I'll give you credit for just reading the book of John. It's a good thing. Are you one of those people who just reads the New Testament? Because the Old Testament doesn't matter in your eyes anymore? No, be wise. Read it all. Read it all. Know his word. Let that not depart from your eyes. From the eyes of the mind, constantly and seriously meditate upon them, his words, upon those excellent precepts and rules which proceed from them, Old and New Testament. So they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. What the elders and the pastors of this church are trying to do is bring this whole body to a place where we grow in God's word, connected to our children who are in the back right now, growing in God's word, talking about his word in our homes with our children, doing it together because it's just so much more fun and a lot easier when Michael and I are talking about God's word together. That's what we're trying to do, is bring this whole church to that place. So when you hear things like life groups, this is what it's about. It's about you and I, each other, growing together in Christ, in his word. It's beautiful. And it's rich. And as much as I try to slow the process down so as not to scare anybody away, the group takes us to depth in God's word. It's like I'm trying to pull back the reins, and I'm like this. They're pulling me. Wait a minute. They said, go slow. I can't do it. Why? Because there's a beautiful thing happening when we're studying God's word together. Together. It's precious. It's beautiful. It's good. It's kind of like the worship we talked about. When we do it together, it's precious. It's good. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Proverbs 3:23 says, then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. We gather together, especially as we see the day approaching, so that our feet do not stumble, that we hold each other up in prayer, in relationship, in good counsel, in listening to the blue hairs, listening to the brothers and sisters in Christ who are there to lift you up. When we're in that realm, we don't stumble so easy. And when we do, there's a crowd of witnesses to pick us up and encourage us. I watched that crowd on Thursdays. I'm seeing it on Wednesday. Well, for us, it's Wednesday. They're happening at all different times throughout the week, like groups. I encourage you to get into one. But even with a wise person, there's issues. We're not perfect when we get to the place of wisdom. When we've come to Christ, we're not perfect. James 3:13 says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom, the way of wisdom, which is free from stumbling blocks. You will not fall into sin. Something should come out of us. Some kind of fruit or work comes out of the abundance of the Spirit of God and the Word of God that's in us. And it should have a great effect on those we come in contact with. And if you're a hermit, and I know I'm preaching to people that are out here, you can't pour into another person's life in your isolation. If there's timidity and shyness, force yourself to get with people who will pray you through that, who will help you look at the roots of that, who will take you to a place where you don't only just get past that so you can talk to somebody, you grow to a place where you affect change in other people's lives. I see that happening on Thursdays all the time. And then Romans 16:17 says another form of this. Now I urge you, brother, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, avoid them. When you are around people that cause that kind of angst within you and you feel the separation, go with the separation in terms of be free of those who are trying to steer you away from the truth of God. That's what the wise person does. The fool goes with the crowd. And they're sucked in. And by the way, the wise person, the Christian, the believer, does not hold up well against the world. And who falls? The Christian. The Christian falls. So if I had Ray come over here and grab my hand, and I represent the good guy, makes me feel better, and he represents the not good guy, I'm wise, he's a fool, and I'm going to try and pull him up to my level, and he's going to try and pull me down to his level. Who goes? It's kind of how it is when we run with the crowd. It doesn't work. Our crowd is this here. Our crowd is believers in other churches that lift up the name of Jesus. That's our crowd. It's the kingdom of God, the family of God. That's our crowd. And they uplift, they build up, they encourage, they do this. But those are the ones. I'm going to tell you about the wisest guy that ever lived, because he's the one that wrote the Proverbs that we've been talking about. In Ecclesiastes 12:13, this is at the end of his reign, he writes, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." This is Solomon talking. "Fear God and keep his commandments. Fear God and keep his commandments." What great words. "For this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. It will be brought to light." Did you ever have your mother pray that your sin would find you out? Listen to all the people who have prayed that. Solomon, the wisest man, who asked for wisdom, and because he asked for wisdom so that he could judge the people well, God blesses him with wisdom and then riches. And in time, Solomon falls away from God. The wisest man in the world, who knew God in such a deep, good way early on, asks for the right things, has favor in God's eyes, falls away from God. Gets caught up in the ministry. Gets caught up in bringing peace. Solomon is a derivative of the word shalom, which is peace. So much so that he begins to do it in his own strength. That's a fool, right? Not God's strength, but our own strength. And so he starts to connect with the queens and the daughters of kings of other countries so that there would be peace. And why did he do that? Because he couldn't trust God. He couldn't trust God to do what God does. "I got this. I'll do it on my own." And it said that he had over 1,000 wives and concubines, and I can't even comprehend that must be. He begins to fall further and further away from God. And for a lot of this, these books that he read, he comes to the place where you wonder, is this guy even saved? But what he does is, in this scripture that I just read to you, we know this. He came to a place at least of knowledge. What we don't know is, did it ever make it from here to here? And many people think that he didn't make it to the kingdom of God. Many people think it's none of our business. That's God's business. But we who have a hope read differently, right? We have Christ, so we tend to lean towards God saved them. That's how I look. And I think that's my word to everybody here. Where do you stand with him? Which one of those people are you? Are you the simple one? Are you the fool? Are you the evil one? Are you the wise one? All four of them needed Christ. All four of them. Christ wasn't there then, but all four of them needed God. All four of them needed to study his word, which at that time was the Old Testament, and not even the entire Old Testament. The teachings from the first five books. They needed that. Which one are you? Well, when I did my self-assessment, I came up wanting. I was all of them. I was simple. I was foolish. Oh, I don't even want to go into the third one, but I was evil. I remember things that are too gross to discuss, and I'm embarrassed by them. I've said that before. And I was that. And I was wise. And I said, like I said before, I made a decision. I made a decision to follow Christ. And now what am I? Am I wise like Solomon was wise? Or am I wise in humility? Like God is the one that's all-knowing and all-wise. That as He reveals the knowledge of who He is to me by His Spirit, and I begin to see God for who He is, am I wise like I see myself for who I truly am, and I bow before Him? That's what I want to be. I aspire to go to the depths. Not hell, the depths of humility. How about you? I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. It's an incredible message that we have here. Once again, it brings us to the place, who are we? Are we in and of ourselves, or are we under Him? Are we fools? Or are we wise, like He desires us to be wise? So what I'm going to do is, Pastor James will lead us somewhere in a good place. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up the altars for you to come and reconcile between you and God, whatever it is you need to reconcile, about where you have fallen short, and just ask Him to restore you. And then if you need somebody to pray for you, there'll be somebody over in the prayer area, which I recommend we use all the time, over to my left, and get prayer. So the altar is free for the next 5 or 7 minutes. So come on up if you need to. And this is between you and God. And then I'll come back and I'll close this off in prayer. Then I believe we have something going on in the back as well. Is that right, Pastor James? Do we have angel tree stuff going on tonight? Next week? Well, now you got the heads up. So this time is for you for the next 5-7 minutes.
As more.